About we're up to pasuk test timsa yadcha lechol oivecha yimincha timsa seinecha. May your hand find all of your enemies, and may your right hand find seinecha. A lot of poetry. What is the difference between an oyev and a seine? And what is the difference between a timsa yadcha? May your hand find versus the word timsa. So it would appear, off just looking at the pasuk at face value, that timsa yadcha lechol oivecha oivecha is a person who wants to destroy you physically, and therefore you have to physically respond with your bare hands. Soinecha is someone that wants to destroy you, not physically, but politically, or wants to destroy you spiritually. He's the invisible enemy. What?
Yeah, spiritually.
An invisible enemy. It's not that it's physical, you can interpret it in many different ways. So it's spiritual, if you want to say that it's more political, to destroy your ability. Someone that's not coming against you with weapons of mass destruction. They're coming against you with techniques that constrain you and limit your ability to succeed. Let's see the Mitzvah of David.
In Mishpatim, you have Kitir Chamos Na'achar, and then Shor Yivcha. Pasuk Miyad, two Pesukim.
Also back to back.
Right,
so there, I'm sure the Mepharshim they must speak about it.
Why the change? I don't know.
Many terms. Let's listen over here. Maybe we'll prepare over here something. Let's see. Pasuk test, it says, Pasuk test in the Mitzvah, the study, Timsa Taspik Makas Yadcha Levecha, may it be sufficient. Okay, the Makas Yadcha Yemincha Yitimsa, Ritzan Lemar Tasi Game, you shall overcome them. The enemy will not be able to escape. Okay, let's the Rashi. Okay, according to Rashi something very interesting, and he says Timsa Yadcha. He gives a whole new kinach. Yadcha is anything that you can do to them. When it says Yadcha, the addition of Yadcha means don't hold back. Kol makas yodcha sheyesh lecha lehavi, anything that you can possibly do, do it. Havei alei vecha, don't hold back. If you have weapons, use them. Hashem gave you the weapons to use them. Okay, let's see over here. Let's see if we try to see the difference in the Malbim. The Malbim. Let's look at the Perush Hamilos. Yodcha yimincha kishabohu near dafim yitzayim b'shem yad. Now, when it says the word the yad and the yamin together, there's a very interesting expression from the Malbim on page 189, and the Beir Hamilos on the left side explains the words kishabo near dafim yitzayim b'shem yad elasmol v'simsoim near dafim. Okay, so I'm going to go back. We're not going to go back now because I want to go further. The one thing I want to just point out of this is a very interesting expression. When you have two words back to back, then this is a very important principle. Then the meaning of the word changes. In other words, whenever it says the word yad, is stam yad the right hand or is stam yad the left hand?
Right.
So basically, the Malbim is telling us that Stam Yad is the right.
That's a
general rule. However, he says over here a very interesting rule, but when you have the word Yamin in the same pasuk, or what he calls it, near Dafim, in rapid succession, like you're being pursued, it's happening again and again, when you have the word Yad together with the word Yamin, then the meaning of the word Yad means the left. And that's a very important principle in translating words, because a word is not always translated the same way. Just because a word is translated one way in one section does not mean that the word should be translated exactly the same elsewhere.
By the way, page 148.
Okay, let's go back. Let's see. Page 148, the Malbim. Okay, let's go back to page 148. Okay, well, let's just finish this idea. This idea is a very important idea. That a word is judged by its context. Words in Lashon HaKodesh are not concrete. They're abstractions. And the abstraction, the precise meaning of the word will depend on the context. on its surrounding, the words that surround it, its environment. In the English language, that's not usually the case. In other languages, a word has a clear definition. It's a dictionary. Sometimes words have many definitions, and you have the ability to adjust depending on how it's being used. But generally, this Mickey Mouse is driving me crazy, man. Looking on the screen, and I see Minnie Mouse. I see Minnie Mouse. Okay. The word yad, in Hebrew, in English, in other languages, words have a very precise meaning. There's a dictionary. You look up the word in the dictionary, and it's defined, and that's what it means. And there's no room to budge. In Lashon HaKodesh, it's clear as day. A word has no definition. Words are abstractions. They have shoroshim, and a word is judged based on its context, on its environment. There's a basic abstract meaning of a word. There's the shorish of the word, the basic letters, but that is very broad. And in order to define any single word, it only can be defined based on its context. So a yad means a hand. There's a left hand, there's a right hand. If this was English, you have the word yad, the English dictionary would say the word yad automatically means the right hand. The right hand. So then every time you come to a pasuk like this, it says Yemincha, and it says the word Yad. If this would be something, I'm just giving a very, very broad, abstract example, a word would have a definite meaning. Therefore, if it says the word Yad, it means the right hand. It says the word Yemincha, your right hand. Okay, so it's repetition. But that's not the way it works in Lashon HaKodesh. In Lashon HaKodesh, a Yad is an abstract hand. And that word it could mean the right hand, it could mean the left hand, it could mean your reach. It means where your mind wants to go and grab hold of something, a concept. Now, when you have a pasuk and you have an environment and it says the word Yemincha, Yemincha clearly refers to the right. So now, when it says Yad, it forces Yad in this context to mean the left. Okay, this is a mashal. This example is true for every single word in Lashon HaKodesh, and that's why you can't force a translation in one pasuk based upon a translation that you had in another pasuk. Of course, you go to another pasuk; it's a very good starting point to figure out what it means. But since here we have in rapid succession pasuk, in our pasuk over here we have here the word Timsa Yod Cholecholeivecha, and then it says Yimincha Timsa Soinecha. So, being that it says Yimincha, the end of the pasuk, that has to mean that Yodcha, the beginning of it means your left hand, and that opens up an interpretation, which means that the Yad, that the left hand is going to be directed to the Oivim, and the right hand is going to be directed towards the Soinim, which is the stronger hand. The stronger hand is the right. The left is the Yad Keha, the weak. Put on the tefillin, the Yad Keha, the weaker hand. Furthermore, the left, li'oyla mihei doicha b'smoil u'mekarev b'yamin. In Chazal's terminology, Abchol, what's wrong? Abchol is not happy here.
I don't agree with this position at all.
What do you mean?
Explain. The default position of Yad is the right. The right is the power hand.
Okay.
Yemincha Hashem nedori ba'koach. Yemincha Hashem tirats oyev.
So what's the left?
It doesn't say the left.
Well, Hashem doesn't have a left hand. Hashem is only two right hands.
No.
Yes. He's always right.
No. Only when it says yodecha in the plural.
Okay.
Then that has a different meaning. But usually Hashem only needs one. With one hand tied behind his back. The power hand is in the right.
So you just saying something different than the Malbim.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not saying that. I'm going in the way of the Malbim. I understand you have a different approach. I'm not coming to disagree because the Malbim is one of many commentators, and I'm certainly there are other commentators. But the Malbim has this idea where he says, "Don't judge a word with give a word an absolute meaning." Where it says the word Yat Stam, it's the right. In this pasuk, it says the word Yemincha, that pushes the word Yad in this particular pasuk to mean the left. Once you do that according to the Malbim, you're opening up this pasuk to interpretation. Because we do know what it says in Chazal, When you, how do you turn a person around? You see a person standing. You see a person who's going far away, and you want to turn them around. What do? With your right hand, with your right hand, you pull him, and with your left hand, you push him. At the same time, I go to a person's shoulder. One shoulder, I pull, and the other shoulder, I push. My left, I push, and the right, I pull. What happens? You turn them around. When you do use the two hands together, you pull with the right and you push with the left. The result is the person turns around. Two hands. There's a lot of chokhma in the koichos of two hands. You doicha the small and you makarvi. Let's see what it says over here. Oh, so Kaf.
Shaul is Yad. He was Ishimini, Ruban, Mishav, Binamin. But anyway, but Shaul is not like the Oivim. Oivim has Kaf, and Shaul is Yad.
This is why the
Mecha. So it's saying another word. In addition to Yad, Yimincha, and Yad, there's Kaf. There's a third. Hashem has three hands. Okay, very interesting. Okay, let's take a look at the Malbim, page 144. 148. To explain how he explains the difference between the right and the left. Okay, here's page 148. Let's look at Pasuk Yitzchak. The Malbim, going back to explain the what he refers to. Pasuk Yitzchak. I mean, look at the Malbim. The Malbim of the Be'er Hamilos. Page 148. The Be'er Hamilos in the Oyvi Umisrenai Ha'oyev Hu Yoyse Min Asoyne. And Oyev is worse. Shayimot says Soyne Bilti Doresh Ro'ah. The Nim Sagam Al Dvarme Hegyoinim. A Soyne hates concepts. Okay, politicians. People have concepts. Soyne Botza. One second here. Okay, Soyne Botza, someone who hates bribery, profit, illegal gain. That's not a physical Soyne. Soyne toichachas, a person who hates rebuke. Umoysef sheyish mireu gam misoynav she'en ro'osam giluya kolkach. A soyne is hidden. This is what we said before. A soyne is something that it's not physical. Someone who is plotting and planning, it's not nikur what they're trying to do to you. Von yirdofim b'sefer zeh yirches, and he writes over here, look all the prokim, look at the incredible bekiyas. Without a computer, he did all this over here. All the different places where you find these two words being used together. There's an oyev and a soyne. An oyev, physical harm. A soyne is a conceptual harm. You talk about this in Purim and Hanukkah. Purim, Haman was an oyev. Ish tsar v'oyev. Ish tsar v'oyev. Haman haro hazeh. Okay, so what did Esther say to Achashverosh? That Haman is an oyev. He wants to physically destroy us. The Yavanim were soinim. They didn't want to physically destroy us. They wanted to destroy our religion.
That's why you need a Yamincha against a soinim.
So you say you need against the soinim is even worse. You're saying
right,
that the soinim. You can even with the left. You're saying very good. When it comes to a someone who's a soinim, they're trying to undermine you spiritually. They're a much greater threat. So you need Hashem's right hand, the koyach. When it comes to the oyev, they're dangerous, but you know what you're dealing with. You know exactly what you're dealing with, and therefore you could the degree of danger you're suggesting is less interesting. All right, let's go back. Let's now go back to Perek Chav Aleph, page 188. We're up to Pasuk Yud. Yeah.
We learned, I think, last week or the week before about you go to when you go out to Ruchama, you have to have a yad on your belt.
The yad tielcha al azeinecha,
right?
A shovel.
Yeah. A shovel for what?
To be your waist, to cover your waist.
The hoya machanecha kodosh. What I learned, Chad, is when you see your vecha, lift up your shovels, give them the hand. And while they're being distracted by that, give him a stick to
thing
with your right hand.
Tim so yadacha l'chol
oivecha.
Show him you're holy. The shovel. He's saying the yod tielecha al azenecha. You should have a yod, a shovel with your weapons. I hear maybe you're onto something, but I don't know exactly what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like the woman who fell into the
latrine.
What's the
I
O?
Oh,
I
you're onto something. Okay, let's go pasuk yud. Pasuk tishi seimo kisanu esh. This is a klala. May you set them in a fire, a tanur of fire, le'es ponecha Hashem, bi'apo, at the time, ponecha, at the time of your anger, Hashem, bi'apo yivaleim, Hashem, with your anger, may you swallow them up, v'seichleim esh, may fire consume them. Let's pasuk give me this list of it. Tishi seimoy, yasmid bohem ho'esh k'moy b'tanur. He learns the word tish. This word is repeating itself multiple times in many different contexts. It means to set. But in this context, it means a continuous. There should be a continuous fire. Yasmid, a continuous setting of fire, kamo esh, le'es panecha, be'es ka'ascha, at the time of your anger. So what is panecha? It's the second time we have the word, if you've taken note of this mizmah, the word panecha appears multiple times, like a play on the word. A lot of poetry in how the word panecha is being used. We had back in Pasuk Zayin, ki shisisemu v'dachis lo'ad, techadeu v'simcha es ponecha. And that meant, according to all the interpreters that we learned, at least our limited learning, is when they greet you. Either when David will greet Hashem in Gan Eden, or when the Melech HaMashiach will greet the Shekhinah in this world. So the word ponecha means your ponim, your beautiful ponim, the ponim of the Shekhinah. In this pasuk, the word ponecha means your anger. Exactly the same word, but it's been used in different contexts. And over here in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you get angry because of the sins, the crimes that are taking place in this world, you should allow your anger to flare and to consume our enemies. Okay, there's a different shot. Okay, that's a different shot. I hear. Okay, that's the Hanani. That's a different interpretation. Maybe somebody says that, but the Mitzudas and Rashi are using the word ponecha in this context. Be'es ka'ascha, at the time of your anger, oz yivalein bi'apo, you will wipe them out. You will devour them with your anger. V'sechleim ha'esh, and the fire will consume them. Rashi, something very similar. Is ponecha le'es zamecha, time of your zam, anger. Okay, that's same as kas, but apo yivalin tefila hi zo. Now, what is the Rashi coming over here to say tefila hi zo? What does Rashi mean with this? Look at the sifsei zikainim on the right side. The apo yivalin tefila hi zo kavanosai. What is Rashi coming to say? Mr. Cohen, how are you feeling today? No cane today, right? Baruch Hashem? Baruch Hashem, getting better. Fu'a shalema. Tefila hi zo kavanosai af sham avalosha nistar. Mikol makom he tefila kimashmos kol even shol ma'ilosh kim derech tefila midaber lemechayach v'nista baruch atu Hashem asher kiddushanu v'kal lohavin. It's kal for the sifsei zakenim to understand, but it's kosher for us to understand. Okay, now what it means is follows. First of all, let's go backwards. Let's take a step backwards. Every time we make a bracha, we change terms. We first talk to Hashem directly. Baruch ato, you. You. And then we say Elokeinu, our God. We say Asher Kiddushanu, who has sanctified us. We change Asher Kiddushanu. We should really say Asher Kiddushto. Kiddushto. You have sanctified us. Yet we speak in the third term. What would the Rebbe like? Would the Rebbe like, you ever see a wife talk to her husband in third term? What would my husband like for dinner tonight? the safer...
The husband.
What would the husband like tonight? The safer Hasidim says that when a husband comes home from work, his wife should take off his shoes and should call him Rebbe. What does the Rebbe... I get into a lot of trouble here. Anyone hears what I just said, right? Okay, but over here, when we talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the one hand, we speak to him like a child, directly. You, Baruch Atah. But then we become very respectful and we say, Asher Kiddushani, he has sanctified us. We don't say, Asher Kiddashto, you have sanctified. We speak respectfully. So here, the Sif says, the Kenim is coming with the point over here, in this pasuk, which term is it? It says here, Yivloim v'sechlem esh, may they be consumed by fire. What he's saying over here is, there's a contradiction in this pasuk. The pasuk starts off where we speak to Hashem directly. Hashem, where at the time of your anger, with the previous pasuk test mentioned, there's someone called an oyev and there's a soyne. We're discussing, and we say back when we speak directly. Your hand, you Hashem, timso yoducha, may your hand obliterate all of your enemies. May your right hand find your enemies. May you ignite a fire at the time of your anger. And then all of a sudden, we're changing terms. We're changing the person. We're now going to speak in third person. Be'ashem, be'es, apo, be'apo. At the time, be'apo, in his anger. It should say, be'apicho. In your anger, we should be consistent. Just as we said in the second term, pasuk, called second term, right? Is that called second term? When you say you is second term?
Second person.
Second person. First person is by yourself. Is that correct?
I.
And second person is you. And third person is
he.
Okay? Everyone know that rule?
We're not playing pronoun games here.
Ooh. Okay, I, you, and he. I is first person. You is second person. He is third person. So here we're going from second person to third person. That's a no-no. That is a violation of all the rules of grammar. If you were in third grade, you would get an F in the course. If you would write psukim like this. And yet, when we have Tehillim, David HaMelech gets away with it. He got a Nobel Prize. Pulitzer Prize. He got away with this. What's the pshat? It's not a kasha. Because this is the Derech of Tzilo. In the Derech of Tzilo, we start out in second person, and we transition into third person. You know what it's like? It's like Avinu Malkeinu. Just like on the famous Tzilo, Avinu Malkeinu, Chotar Lefenech, Avinu Malkeinu, Ilmi Melchulorata. What's Avinu Malkeinu? Avinu, there's a different type of relationship. People don't talk to their father in third person. That's just not the way it is. Let's be realistic here. You talk to your father, there's a certain closeness, and you speak to your father directly.
No, but the protocol is for your Rebbe.
A Rebbe, a Melech, so a Melech.
Malkei Rabbanan. I was never trained to do that, but
in certain places.
A lot of that.
A lot. Chaim Olin. Not so much anymore.
Certainly Mount Chassidim would never address his Rebbe.
What?
Chassid would never address his Rebbe in the second person.
Well, in Yiddish it's very
pronounced.
It
depends.
Because in Yiddish it's ear and do.
Oh, ear and do.
Wie geist ear, you say to the Rebbe. Wie geist du, you say to someone more familiar.
Right. My grandfather was a Rebbe, so my grandfather was very much mechabed his Talmidim. But he would always say, I say to my Talmidim ear, and they talk back to me, do. That's what he used to say. It's what you're saying is very true. This is something which I once saw this, it really struck me. I grew up in a high school where I told you many times my menahel was Rav Chaim Singel Zechutzal Levracha. And he had this mahalich where he would talk to a ninth grader like he's talking to a chosh of a person, a ninth grade, a little kid over here, okay, who's wearing white sneakers and his hat, his brim is still up on his hat, right, running around, doesn't know what's going on, and he would talk to a ninth grader as if he's talking, I wouldn't say to a Rosh Hashiva, but he was talking to a distinguished individual, and when this boy, ninth grade, hears the menahel talk to him ear with such derech eretz, it was very unsettling. And it forced that boy, that ninth grader, to become mature overnight. It's a very powerful technique. And his yisoid was, a boy in eighth grade is a baby. It's a baby, give him a sippy cup. And make sure he comes with an extra pair of diapers. A boy, an adult, is an adult. Supposedly, hopefully someone one day will grow up. Some people never grow up. A boy in high school, he said, he would say, is it's nishtahi nishtahe. They're babies. But they could be adults if they really wanted to. If you talk to them like adults, they become adults. They're already at a stage in their life where they can now transition to become, but they have to be, someone has to work on them. And if you talk to them like a baby, they'll be a baby. So his policy was he treated his talmidim, the Chaim Siegel, like adults, like mature adults. He spoke to them in a very dignified way, he treated like a ninth grader, as if he was talking to a rav. Not a joke. And it was very disturbing. It really was. And the Mela, the boys, some of them at least, they matured very quickly and they became chashuva people. So years later I went somewhere, and for a tekufa I was in a certain place, and every day I need daven mincha. So there was a yeshiva in the neighborhood. So I went to daven in the yeshiva mincha every single day, and it was a good yeshiva. So it was a chashuva yeshiva, and the menahel was a very big talmud chacham. And I daven mincha, and I saw how the menahel ran the show. He literally treated the high school kids like kindergarten, like in kindergarten. The way he spoke to them, the way he the incentives he gave them to behave, to be quiet during mincha, and the way he conducted himself, he talked to them like he's talking to the kindergarten children. And the kids, they responded in kind. You talk to us like we're in kindergarten, so they behave like they're in kindergarten. And I remember how that tekufa, I was like, my jaw dropped, and like, I never appreciated that when I went to high school, I was very fortunate to have a very chashuva menahel, where he didn't even realize what he was doing. And he spoke about this: is to treat high school students like they're chashuva people,
or at least like adults.
Like adults, and that way you raise them. You raise them to a higher level. And when you saw, you didn't appreciate it. When you saw the contrast, wow. It really struck me. Really. And the truth is, it's not just with high school. You see it with parents also. If you talk to, like a child, a parent, if you talk to a child on their level, you're just going to push them further you always have to talk to someone a little bit higher. A little bit above what they are, to raise them. When you have someone in kindergarten, you talk like he's in first grade. So in first grade, you talk like they're in third grade. Okay, obviously, you can't go talk to a child like an adult but to raise a person, you have to go a little bit higher.
Right. My son has a seminary in Lakewood, and Taka, he says it's down to transformation. They were previously in elementary school, high school. Now they have to be treated, like adults.
You raise them, but the danger is...
And now they're transforming into, mothers.
Chashuva people.
Israel, yeah,
dignity. This is what we need in this generation more than anything else. Dignity. Chashivas. Not to be babies. All right, any event over here, so this part, in tefillah, we transition from du to ir. You start off Baruch Atah, and then all of a sudden Elokeinu, our God. You refer to Asher Kiddushanu. We don't say Asher Kiddushto. We don't say Atah. What would you say for Hashem? I'm a little confused, but let's say Asher Kiddushto. You don't say Asher Kiddushto. Asher Kiddushanu. You have sanctified us. We transition into third person. So over here, that's exactly, therefore that is the style in prayer, just like Avinu Malkeinu. You start out, Hashem, you're Avinu. I can talk to you like I talk to my father. I can talk to you. I don't need any appointment. A child needs an appointment to come to his father. You go right in, go right into the front door.
Well, we don't say Avicha, we say Avinu.
Well, Avicha, your father. That you have to say it. I don't mean the grammar. I don't mean here the grammar. I mean the relationship. A father versus a king. I'm not talking about. So a father, you don't need an appointment. You just go walk right in. A king and melech, you don't walk right in. You have to have an appointment. You got to have an appointment. So there's avinu, there's a relationship of avinu, and there's a relationship by Hashem of Malkeinu. It's a complex relationship. When we make a bracha, we express that concept. Atah, we speak directly, and then we transition. There is in the bracha. We all of a sudden we have ultimate respect. We stand back and we talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if he's our king. We speak to him in third person. So in this pasuk here, this is exactly what's happening over here. We start out in the previous pasuk of Timshah Yodecho, L'chol Oyevecho, L'chol Oyevecho, Yeminecho, Soineecho, Tishi Seimo, where you set him, Tishi Seimo, Kisanu Eish La'is Ponecho. And now all of a sudden, we're transitioning to Malkeinu. We're transitioning to third person. Hashem, ba'afo, in his anger, it's not ba'apicha, yivla'im, it's not yivla'im, this soichlecha, may they be consumed, well, no, not really, that may be the word ba'apo.
The eish.
It's saying eish, and also be'apo in his anger.
Yeah.
It should say be'apicho.
It's not nice to say to the king, atako es.
You're angry, aha.
No, I never. I'm
Hashem is never angry, right?
I never.
Interesting. So this is what he means over here, tefila hizo. This is how the Sif say these words are very hard words really to say what he means. Be'apo yivalein. Tefila hizo, he has a very interesting interpretation of the zikanim, that don't be concerned about the grammar. This and when Rashi over here is coming to explain to you is that is the derech of tefila to switch over. Rabbi Eliezer, welcome back. Shalom. Okay, so look over here. You okay? Everything okay?
Yes. Passed over.
It never passes over. Yes.
I'm thinking it's not just to put in place, but to set up for a downfall.
Aha, you're saying a homily, a drush.
In these contexts, consistently it seems to be set up for a fall.
He's saying something very interesting. To set them up to fail. Okay, that's an education. You take a course.
He's saying the word tishisema,
it should not just be interpreted simply to set. It means to create a plan. There is a complex plan when you set somebody up to fail. You set a stage. There's an elaborate, like, you know, play chess. What do you do in the first, a real chess master? What does he do in the beginning of the chess game? He sets up an environment to bring about a magnificent defeat. So the Rabbi Chol is saying the word tishisemo is a rich word, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Golus in all these years he's setting up all the chess pieces for the climax, for the moment of a magnificent defeat. It's a very, very powerful idea. In the world of education, if you take a course in education, one of the first things they teach teachers, say everything is into education, teachers need education, how to teach, is don't set up a child to fail. You put a child in an environment where there's no way he's going to succeed. And then comes the time, and the disaster is just horrific. And who's to blame? You, the teacher. You set him up. On the first day of class, you put things in motion which are going to mushroom, and this child at the end of the year is going to suffer a magnificent defeat. And that's a tragedy. You have to be very careful not even realizing it, inadvertently, to set up a student to fail. You have to make sure that you have a plan with a child at every point in time has the ability to succeed, and not to have challenge and to succeed. So Mecholovi is saying that these wicked people are so wicked, you should set them up. Set up a plan in this world where ultimately the fire will burn and destroy them when the moment of truth comes. Le'es ponecha, that moment of zam. Notice it says the word ace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. Everyone knows the story with Bilam. Bilam, he wanted to curse the Jewish people at a very specific moment. Chazal said that there's a very precise moment during the day where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, and if Chas V'Sholom, our enemies, are mekatreik at that moment, it can be very great danger. And Bilam, he knew that moment and was waiting for that moment. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us miracles. On that day, he wasn't angry. On that day, he decided not to be angry, because if he would have been angry on that day, then Bilam would have known when to be mekatreik, and it would have caused enormous damage. We had that with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir had in his neighborhood some people that were causing him tzar. And he sat, he took the chicken, he took the rooster, because Chazal said the moment Hashem gets angry is when the crown of the rooster has streaks of red. A very specific moment in the day, the crown of the rooster turns red. And he was waiting and watching, and he fell asleep. He must have been listening to the morning call out. He fell asleep at that moment, and then he realized it was the Hashkocha Pratis to go to Shir that day, to listen that day, because Hashem doesn't want the wicked people.
Brud, no,
that was another mice. Okay, it was part of the, I don't remember. That was part of the mice. So it was a different mice.
Tamu chatoyim v'loy chaitim.
It's not the proper thing to do to wish the defeat of the Rishayim. You have to wish that they should do teshuva. Chayzeh b'shuva. Okay, let's go further. This pasuk Gidalf. Yeah. Oh, wow. He's saying very good.
What?
He's saying Bilam. This whole ma'it is merum is in this pasuk. It's Yivalein, Bilam.
Give it to the son.
Give it, it's like a play on the words. Return it. Boomerang on them. Oh. Bilam was the one who invented. Bilam was the one who invented this concept that you should try to be the Catholic at the ace, the moment of zam. Le'es ponecha. Rashi says ponecha is zam, the moment of anger. Who is the one that invented this? Bilam. So adarabah, yivalein, let the rishus that they try to do to us at the ezam boomerang on them. Beautiful. You see, I have a comment over here. Mom, she says stuff here, unbelievable.
That's
stuff.
The word is
Rachel, put two thumbs up. Rachel, you back on Twitter?
I was never.
You never censored?
Never on Twitter.
You never on Twitter? It's a mileth to have been censored. It's like a covet.
Who knows?
I might join it. If. Okay, let's go further. Pir yomoi be'eretz meretz ta'abein. Their fruit. A person's peros. Wicked people also produce peros in this world. From the earth may be destroyed. Vizar'om. Now you have to repeat the word ta'abed. The word ta'abed has to be repeated. Vizarom ibnei adam ta'abed. That's what we do all the time in Nidim. Whenever you have a doubt, whenever in doubt, repeat. That's the rule of thumb in Navi. You have a pasuk that's a little bit obscure, so find some mystery word and repeat the word a second time to make sense out of it. So if for piryamu, their fruit, from the earth it should be destroyed. Vizarom, their seed, ibnei adam, from mankind, also ta'abed. That's how the pasuk is meant to be understood. Let's read the mitzvah. The other pasuk yud beis in the mitzvah is stavit. Pasuk yud alef. Pir yamo binehem. They're children. Okay, children are called bonecha kishsile zaysim saviv l'shulchanecha. Like zaysim, like plants of saplings of aleph. Children are fruit, the fruit of a person's womb. Vizarom and their seed. Kofal adabu lashon. This is poetic repetition. Rashi, pasuk yud aleph. Period.
When it says everything ends in mo, like it's like to Kibiemo, Vesito Amo.
Poetry.
It's a fancier.
Okay.
Yeah.
Puru.
It's a poetic expression. Let's see Pasuk Rashi. Rashi, Pure Yamoy, Me'eretz Abed, Liakodesh Baruch Hu, Mispalo, Shiabed, Zarish, Shal Esav Harasha. He's being Mispalo, and here he's being Mispalo, part of the Tila, that Akodesh Baruch Hu should destroy the seed of Esav Harasha. Okay, let's go Pasuk Gideis. Ki Natu Alecha Ro'ah, Choshvu Mizima Bal Yuchalu. Now, what does it mean the word Natu? Natu means to tilt. Ordinarily means to tilt. Look at the Mitzudos Sion. Mitzudos Sion doesn't say anything over here. What's even Mitzudos David? Pasuk Gideis Ki Natu. Al Ki Natu La Sois Ro'ah Lumulecha, K'moshe Nemar, Yisyatzu Al Hashem Yal Mashicho, they stand firm. Against Hashem and His Anointed One. So the word "natu"
here he translates it as directed. They have directed.
Excellent, great word. I like it. Great, it's very good. Natu lecharo. They have directed. What is the little? How does the word "not" usually mean literally? It usually means like to tilt
or incline.
To incline, like you lean forward. But in this context, it's like that's much better. That's like they directed. They're at the control center. And they're implementing plans and policies that are very damaging for the Jewish people. Rabbi Elman, Rabbi Eliyahu, Shalom Aleichem, welcome back.
Shalom, thank you.
Did you
pick Shifron? Kinatu Olech, I like that. Natu means I like that's a great translation. They are directing that throughout the generations, Esav always directed against Hashem evil. Choshum Zimzim's plans, evil plots, and then it comes out a very interesting conclusion, Bal Yuchalu, but they were never able to succeed. Despite all of their evil plots and plans, they never were able to be Yuchal. Yuchal, what is it, the word Yuchal? It says by Esav, maybe this is the key word, it says, Ki lo Yocholoi, by Yehodek Ish, Yimay Adalos Hashach, Vayar Ki,
Lo
yocholo. So perhaps we can suggest that is the key word that Rashi used to base his interpretation that these two psukim pir yomoi me'eretz ta'abed v'zadam b'bnei adam ki natu olecha rab choshu mezima bal yuchol. How does Rashi know that these two psukim is a tzvila that Hashem should destroy Esav? What's the key word that tells us this is Esav? Bal yuchol. Because when Yaakov Vayeovik ish imay ara lois hashach vayar ki lo yocholo yuchol, I want to say, what is it? Kivar vayar ki lo yocholo, that's the word. That he was unsuccessful. He was unable to prevail. And here it says, bal yucholu. That's the same exact word. So that is the key word that indicates this entire sequence of psukim is discussing Esav HaRasha. And he's done here. David is being misfollowed. They should be obliterated.
It's amazing that he says kinatu alecha and not aleinu.
Oh, because Klal Yisrael. Now you have that. You have that often.
Said before,
when you start up with the Jewish people, you're starting with Hashem. With
they meant
Hashem.
With us, but not
you. Really Hashem. It's a milchemes Hashem. It's a milchemes Hashem.
That's the Gog and Magog.
But this is something that's very common. This is a very common theme in Nach, is that when you start up with the Jewish people, you are really fighting against Hashem. It's all one and the same. It's all this Milchemes Hashem. Ki natu ki al ki natu la sa Yisrael l'mulecha k'ma yishnema ba yitzatzu next words choshu in the Mitzvot page 188 on the bottom, the last big line. Choshu mezimo yachshavu machashavay shiyev shalukhem la sa Yisrael. They make plans which it's impossible for them to succeed. Of course, only because Hashem prevents them from succeeding. Rashi, Pasik, Yudbeis, Ki Natu Olecho Ro'o. Now, we learned Rashi before in the previous Pasik. This is not what I said. Well, no, it is. It's a Titus, Kineged Titus Horosho, Sha'amar, Shahorag Es Atzmo. That's a euphemism that he stabbed the poreches,
right.
And blood came gushing out. Bal yucholu la'asoy, something that is impossible. So not to, now this is very, very interesting. You know why? Because
you wouldn't be expecting this.
So you know now, choshvu, okay,
he was under the illusion he had committed deicide.
Right. He entered into the Kodesh HaKadosh, he stabbed the Paroiches, and blood came gushing out, and he thought in his crazy mind that he, whatever, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, he's doing it, and Baal Yuchal, which is impossible. Now, it's very interesting that the Kina, I think it's Kina Tez Zayin, in the Kinois, is where we say, Zuchora Sh'oster Tsar Bifinim. Okay, Bifinim. Remember what the Tsar, the enemy, did inside the Kodesh HaKadosh. And in that Kina, the whoever was the Kalir, I think the Kalir of that Kina, probably, we described the whole mice of Titus, that he went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim and what he did. Before it says that, it says exactly the word Kinotu. Kinotu Kav of red blood. It says there, I don't remember the exact words, and we don't have a Kinus here in the room, and it's not, but it says there, Kinotu, he extended a plumb line,
right,
of a red, not to a red, he put a red line. And everyone there has a very hard time. What does this mean? He drew a red line in the ground, and all the commentators, they really stretch it to try to explain what it means there, that he took he made a red line, and it basically means he killed everyone. He committed murder, and red refers to the blood of the Jewish people. There are some interpretations which really work very hard to make sense out of it, but the bottom line is, it's a very, very difficult line in that Kina. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking now out loud with you, as Aronovsky would say, we have certainly no terms here, I don't want to be a plagiarism, rabbinic literature, Rabbi Kefet, Aronovsky, I'm thinking out loud, I learned all these things here from you, all these expressions, and it's fascinating. It says here the word kinotu olecho ro'ah. This word notu, the same word, and in it says bal yucholu, which Rashi explains to refer to this specific event of the Churban Bayis Sheni, where Tita went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and if we'll figure out what it means kinotu olecho in this pasuk, maybe we'll have a better understanding of what the Kalir meant in Kina Tes Zayin of Kinotu Kav Dam, I think it's Dam or Dom, I don't remember the exact words, but he extended a red line. So Rashi over here, and the Mitzvah over here, okay, Rashi just tells us very interesting these words. Let's see what it says in Targum. In the Targum, Pasuk Yud Beis, Mitul because De Chashilu Aloch Bishta. What is the chashilu alach bishta? Again, the word, I don't know what the word chashilu means. That's the problem. You don't have good Aramaic. The chashilu. Let's see what it says over here. In what? The chashilu. Look at the targum. Pasuk Yud Beis. Mitul means because. The chashilu alach bishta. Bishta is evil.
Right.
Chashilu machshavan bishta v'lo yichilu. So what does mean the chashilu? What does that word mean? I do not know what that word means. Let's see what it says here in...
By the way, it says the Hamila Bal here. Bal Yuchalu, and before there was a Bal Yimot. Chesed Hashem, Bal Yimot, and Mezimah, Bal Yuchalu. He used the same word, but the opposite. The Oivim, Bal Yuchalu, but the Chesed Hashem, Bal Yimot.
So there's a poetry. Bal Yimot. Yeah, there's a lot of this poetry here. There's a lot of consistent theme, a motif in its style. Okay, let's see the next part, because the next one's even more fascinating. Pasuk Gimel, Ki Sishisemo Shechem Dimei Sorot Recha. Another word out of the Kina. It says the not to kav. Kav is a line, like a chord. And here in this pasuk, it says here, you set Dimei Sorecha. Sorecha means a chord. You should establish upon them. What does that mean? You put upon their shoulder. Because of their wickedness, Hashem, you should do to them the following. You should collect them. Yaakov said, Shechem achad al achecha. So what does it mean? A shechem means a portion. A portion. I'm giving you an additional portion more than all of your other brothers. You're going to get a double portion. Now, the word Shechem also means a shoulder. Why is a shoulder called a portion? Maybe because you carry, that's where you carry your portion. In ancient times, when you have whatever you have, you carry on your shoulder. It's your portion. Your chelik, when you come with a basket, when you would come to the Beis HaMikdash to bring Bikurim, where would you carry the basket? In your hands? No. On your shoulder. Your chelik, your portion, the way you show that you have a portion is you carry it on your shoulders. The Kohen Gadol, what does he carry on the shoulders? The names of Klal Yisrael. The Kohen Gadol, his chelik, he's carrying his chelik. His portion is to represent the Jewish people. He represents, that's my chelik, my portion. The words go together. Shechem is a shoulder, but in this context it means a portion. Here it says, may you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take them and give them, make them into one. Let's see how he explains it more precisely in the Mitzvot David. Ki bavur zos tosim oisoi, set him l'chelik echad, into one portion. What does that mean? Shayamdu muvdol b'peah achas l'hiyos l'matora l'chetz. They should be in one location to be the target for the arrow. Okay, b'nei sorecha b'chevel hakeshes. This is the bowstring. Here we're going to shoot the bow, and the target is identified and marked off, and all of the enemies are put in that target. Tichoinein, prepare the arrows. Hachitzim lirois bohem. Now, where in the world are we mentioning of your bows and arrows? This is not Lag BaOmer here. So the answer is, the word b'meis sorecha is obviously an exclusive, reserved word for a bow and arrow. If you have a bow, you have an arrow. The word meis sorecha is the bowstring. Yeah. On a bow and arrow, there's a bowstring. It's the cord that you use in the bow and arrow. Therefore, if we have a bowstring, and that's the weapon, obviously the ammunition are the arrows. And what are we doing? We're taking all of our enemies, we're putting them together in one specific location so that it'll be easy to shoot the arrow and obliterate them. That's what it's mentioning over here. Key, so that Tishi Seimo, you shall set them as Shechem, as one chelek, in one isolated location, so that b'mei sarecha, you can then arm your weapon, your bow and arrow, and now tichoinin, you can prepare your arrows to shoot al pinehem, upon them, to shoot and destroy them. Now that's very, there's a lot going on. Let's take a step back. At the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, did Hashem take all of the firstborns and collect them into one house and then have that building collapse upon them?
No.
There was no, Moshe could have said, they could have had a club, the firstborn club. And the night of Pesach was the annual event when all of the firstborns, you're a member of a club, you have a card. I'm a firstborn. Every firstborn has certain entitlements in society, and they have a big convention. So all the firstborns go to the convention, and the night of Pesach, it was rigged, and they dynamite, boom, all the firstborns were dead. That's not the way it happened. All the firstborns were scattered throughout the entire Egypt. And that night, the Avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh, and every firstborn, wherever he was, there was precision. Wherever the firstborns were, they were all killed. So what's going on over here? Over here, David HaMelech is saying, Hashem, let's make it easy. Let's have a convention, and let's take all of the enemies from all over the world. There are wicked people in America. There are wicked people in France. Wicked people in Germany. Wicked people in Australia and Canada and Hong Kong. And we'll bring them together into one location, and we'll press the dynamite button. Boom. Hashem doesn't need to do that. Hashem is able to take out his enemies with precision wherever they are. What's going on over here? I don't know. This is a different type of punishment. This is the way Mitzvah learns. Ki tishi seimo, Shechem. You will set all of our enemies. in one location, in one chelek, so that b'nei sarecha, you'll be able to aim your bow at them, to take them out easily, and to choinen al p'neihem, you will prepare your arrows to shoot at these people. Why? Because, go back to the previous pasuk, not alecha ra, chashu mezim abal yuchalu. Let's again read the Mitzvahs one more time. Pasuk yud gimel. Ki tishi seimo, ki bavur zois. Because of their evil plans, tasimo so lechelik echa, you will set them in one location. Sheyamdu, they will stand muvdal, distinct, b'teya achas, in one corner of the world. To be a target for an arrow. By the way, you know what it means? Chet? Chet? What does it mean? To say, chin din navera. You spoke during davening. You woke up late. You can't wait to davening. You said avak lashon hara. Okay? Chet. Chet literally means when you're an archer and you miss the mark. You miss the target. That's what the word chet. I will always remember this the rest of my life because I was humiliated once. We were once sitting around, boys and girls, at probably a suda somewhere, and there was some Bishyako girls, and there was me, I was also there. And the person, it was a very chashu person, and he asked, what is the literal meaning of the word chet? Looked at me, I don't know. And there was a Bishyako girl there, and she said it means to miss the mark, an archer. And the person is, you see these Shiva guys, they know nothing. Nothing. The Beis Yaakov girls, they know everything. Yeshiva guy, what are you worth? I was so humiliated. Baruch Hashem, at least today I know something. At least they have this thing on the hate. So here.
There are two rayas that it said. There was the Binyamin Golkota, when they shot, they did not miss their.
Mr. Mark. Right. This.
The other raya was from.
Machar Chodesh.
When she went, Nosan Hanavi, she said, Adi Ubini Golkatoyim.
Lokatoyim. This week's Avtara. This week, Rabbi says, Machar Chodesh. Vayomi Yohainasan. Machar Chodesh. Chodesh is Sunday, Monday. So we haven't learned Machar in a very long time.
Right.
It's been a long time since we learned Machar Chodesh. So this Shabbos, and there it talks about the arrows. Where David said to Yehoshua, shoot the arrows and go further than the target. So here we have, right over here, the B'nei Sorecha. Let's see over here, Rashi. Rashi, possibly says.
In modern Hebrew, I found out in Israel, in basketball, when you miss a shot, you said, who chatach.
Ooh, wow. You missed the mark. Very good. Excellent. You see that? It even trickled down to basketball. I wonder what they say about golf. Okay.
What I said before about Baal, what's the difference between Baal and Lo? It's not a poetic.
Okay.
What does it mean? No way.
Under no condition.
Lo,
categorically.
It can maybe yes, maybe no. It's a love. About Baal?
Under no condition.
Never.
Under no condition. Very good.
Okay,
let's see the Rashi.
Under no condition. Excellent.
Pasuk you give them the Rashi. Ki tishi seimoy shechem. Asher toshis oisam lechelek. Sheyichalku Yisrael es memoina. Rashi has an entirely different interpretation. Is that their assets will become our portion. Like Bizas Yamsuf. That like just like what Yaakov said to Yosef, I'm going to give you an extra shechem achad al achecha, an additional portion. Here, make their assets kitishi semo shechem. Set the wealth, the possessions of our enemies as our portion. It will be distributed as spoils to the Jewish people. One more time, the words of Rashi. Asher toshis, may you Hashem set oisam, them our enemies, l'chelek. What does that mean? As a portion. Sheyichalku Yisrael es moina, may the Jewish people divide their money. K'may shenemar, v'hoya sachra v'es nana this is in Yeshaya, the end of the Torah, is they'll become, okay, I don't have a whole pasuk in front of me, but it means there is that their wealth will become the assets of the Jewish people. There's a whole mizmor, there's a whole parak over there describing Yimos HaMashiach, what's going to happen to all their money. Okay, b'mei sorecha tichoinein al pinehem, b'mei srei kash soy secha, with a kash soy secha, the bowstring, you know, the bowstring of their arrow, of the bows, tichoinein chitzecha, may you prepare the arrows, v'saz minem, and may you take aim, lirois, to shoot al pneim. Okay, that's the end of the pasuk, is exactly the same as what the Mitzvah Stavit said. Exactly the same, but the beginning of the pasuk is a little bit different. The Rashi over here is saying something I think a little bit easier for us to relate to, is that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant, like same way there was Bizas Yamsuf, there was Bizas Mitzrayim, and Bizas Yamsuf, there's also going to be Liyasalovo, Bizas Melchemes Goygu Magoyk. When the nation were going to try to destroy Jewish people, all of their assets were going to become, you set them as Shechem, as a chalek for the Jewish people to divide. A little bit easier. Okay. Now, we still have to go back and understand, and you know, you have to also know, and I'm just thinking with you out loud, and that is in that kina of Tisha B'Av, where it talks about Titois, if you take those two words, they appear there. The word notu, and it says they're a kav. Kav. Now a kav is a line, and you know, a mesarecha is a cord. Now, I'm just thinking out with you out loud. And if you take what it says over here, according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, at least according to Rashi, and you would somehow really in a very forced interpretation, Titus and the Romans, when they destroyed the Jewish people, they plundered their wealth. When they came to the Beis HaMikdash, they took all of the assets, all of the wealth of Beis HaMikdash for themselves as a shechem, as a portion. They came, what do they do when they come to the Beis HaMikdash? They looted. And in addition to looting the Beis HaMikdash, they came to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he took a sword and he stabbed the Pareichas, and blood came out. So that's what it means over here. It means over here the word kinotu. It means according to the kinotu lecharah, they planned, they directed evil. And then it says over here that Hashem should make for us their assets shall go to us. If you play with the same language, because that's what the Paitanim did. The Paitanim, when they wrote tefillos, they wrote tefillos based upon what it says in the Psukim. Very rarely did the Paitanim did they come up with their own ideas. They drew from Tanakh. They drew from Chazal. Right. And they expressed it in some very powerful words. And unfortunately, many of us, myself, we have no clue what it says in Tanakh. Our knowledge is just so little. But if you have a full comprehensive understanding of what it says in Tanakh, and you look at the Nusach HaTfilah, it's a new world. And many of the things that we read in the Piyutim and even the basic Siddur, we're clueless. And sometimes it's very embarrassing. You read some of the translations and you read these notes, and they tell you these like really bizarre, forced interpretations, and then when you come across what it really means, it's like an eye opener. We once spent a lot of time, I think, Tikanta Shabbos, Ratzisa Karbon Asecha. I think that is a very great casualty of not knowing what it really means. And in some of the translations, we once gave a whole show on the same one we did again one time. Tikanta Shabbos, which comes at Tzivisa Peirusheha in Sidure Nisocheha. What do those words mean? What do those words mean? Tzivisa Peirusheha in Sidure Nisocheha. So you look in the translation, it's embarrassing what you write. Hashem Tzivisa, you commanded its explanation. The Peirush in with the arrangement of the Yayin, of the Nisocheha. What in the world are you talking? And it says in the translations, all of the different interpretations of what Shabbos means, with the arrangement of the wine libations. Are you joking? Is that what it means? You have satisfaction with that translation? And you push in, and then when you learn a little bit, it's clear as day, that the entire piyut is describing the lechem haponim. And there are 12 breads, and you spread out, and some actually hold there's a mistake, this part of the problem, there's a mistake in the text. It's not with a shin. Tikanta Shabbos, Sivisa Peiru Sheho, that's a mistake. Sivisa Peiru Seho, a sin. And a sin, Frois Oleinu Sukash Lomecha, is to spread out. On the Shulchan, you spread out the bread. The whole Shulchan is spread out with bread. In Sidurei Nisach, it's a pasuk in Chumash. It means with those pikes, I don't know little fancy words, the staves, how do you pronounce it?
The staves,
yeah. The vertical pipes and horizontal pipes. These are a very complex arrangement of
six and six.
Hashem, you commanded that we should spread out the bread on the Shulchan with a complex arrangement of poles and shelves just right so that ear can get in between. That's what it means. How come unfortunately we lost the boat? Because we don't pay attention to what we don't know Chumash, because in Chumash it says the word Nisachaha explicitly in reference to the poles and the shelves in Parashas Pekudei and also in Parashas Tetzaveh. And when you know Chumash and you know Tanakh inside out and you read something, it's a whole new world. We have to finish over here. Let's go over one more pasuk. It's more do chabes. Ruma Hashem uzecha. A very unique word. Ruma. It's not the common way that you have that word. Rise up. It's a little bit different than what you expect. Ruma Hashem. Kuma Hashem. Right? Wouldn't it be more? Wouldn't you expect it to say Kuma Hashem? Kuma. Ruma. Hashem uzecha. Nashu, we will sing when the Zamra Givura Secha, your might. We started with Lamatech Hashem Bracha Yismach
Melech.
Joy with Zamra.
And he finished the same
with Zemira. Excellent. Rashi, let's see Mr. Zavid. Krishna Mr. Zavid. Be'uzech. Okay, see, Goydel Koychacha. Taught him, ask him to the greatness of your power. Rise up. Li Param, Umar Sahim. In order to punish the enemies, the Oz Nashirim will sing Rashi Ruma Hashem Beuzecha Alakamim on those who rise up against you, the Nashiru and the Zamra. Okay, there's not much information over here. Why we're using specifically this word? Is there anything over here that it says in the first one over here? Ruma Shav Lachoides Hashem the Ibn Ezra. Lohoides Hashem Esef HaMizmo Ki Chol Zeh Yikra Lohoi Be'oiz Hashem Asher Yehichel Hashem Oscha. What is it in the Radak Ruma Hashem Be'uzecha Ha'ayin B'kibbutz Sifo Sayim. The Ayin is called a Shudok. Yermu Kol Yishol Ruma Hashem Al Ha'idim Be'uzecha Ki Ha'oiz Agvur Lohohi Lohi Lohi. It's to you Hashem. It doesn't really explain the significance of what Ruma, this unusual word in this context. Okay. Baruch Hashem, this was Ba'al HaMashiach. Tomorrow we're going to start the very popular, very famous Mizmar Chabeis. This is what is the Mizmar for Purim. Uvnei Yishu Yosef Yod Ramah. Ashkenazim. Ramah Al Tikr Mo. Hey, Ella Mitan Aleph. Rav Moshe Isselus. When the Klai Yisrael went out, they were all Ashkenazim. There were no Sfardim. They went to Mount Har Sinai, and the Torah was given in Yiddish. Let's make it clear here. the original version was a litter. Well, Krakow. But tomorrow we're going to begin the Mizma Lamedez Lamatzech Alayelas Ashachar, which is the Nisoira. This was composed by Esther Hamalka when she went in to the Melech Achashverosh to invite him to come to the party. The miracle of Purim is all alluded to in this Mizmar. It's a very powerful Mizmar. I'll just tell you one quick bar now. I was very, very, very moved by this. Because, you see, this shows, in my opinion, a modern modern, a Renaissance man. Who is a Renaissance? Who are who? A certain gadol. You know, a lot of the Gedolim today are very rigid in their, you know, Messiah. And if you go out of that mold, they'll shoot you. There's very few Gedolim that are very modern, Renaissance. Who am I referring to? Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. Why do I say that? Rav Steinman, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, was Rav Chaim's. Rav Steinman. Rav Steinman, Rav Chaim had enormous respect for him and awe for him. Rav Steinman, Zeichet Tzadik, wrote many, many sifadim. All of his sifadim he called Ayela Sashachar. Okay, it's very, very good. I'll tell you a very good word here. Rav Steinman, he wrote many sifarim, and the name of his sifarim is Ayeles HaShachar. When Rav Steinman was ill, and Rav Chaim was told, he said to Hillel, which mizmor did he say? Did he say L'mamakim Kodesich Hashem Shamalas? He would say for his refuah shlema, L'natzeach al Ayeles HaShachar. He called Rav Steinman the Ayeles HaShachar. That was the name of his sfarim. Rav Steinman, he wrote that. So when he said to Hillel, L'natzeach al Ayeles HaShachar. Isn't that amazing? You know, the average gadol, you grow up in the yeshiva world, you say, you don't go take a modern 21st century sefer that was written by a certain person and use it as a springboard. We're going to say to him now for this person. Oh, he wrote a sefer. So let's say to him from a mizmor that it says his sefer. No, Rav Chaim, when he said to him, he's the Ayeles HaShachar of this generation. So that's the appropriate thing to be to use as a tool to pray to Hashem. You should get better. That's amazing. In my mind, that's like a incredible insight into his thinking. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, a short break. We'll learn about
those by Shabbos.